In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Good afternoon.
Good. It is an afternoon. Good to know. Okay.
Good to have the Catholic daughters here today. Thank you for leading the rosary today. You're all dressed in white in the front row. Maybe we can add to your numbers soon. It's looking real sharp. We have in the one thing that the Catholic daughters do every year is they have a national convention. And this year, do you know where the national convention is? Puerto Rico. It's going to be great. I don't think we're sending anybody from our council there. We're very young. But maybe at the following one when it's not so far away. There in Santa Rosa, the woman who came and helped us form ours, Yvette Griego, she's running for nationwide office to be able to be there. So let's pray that she does, and she'll represent us really well when she does so as the daughter council up there. Today we had the first Holy Communions in Santa Rosa, so continue to pray for all those who made their first Holy Communions today. They were very excited to do so with all their families gathered around them. And as well, this week, did somebody just graduate? Next week. Next week is the week. Oh, it's the 27th. Oh, wow, we still have time. Good. Well, we're going to prepare for our senior masses next weekend. Senior masses next weekend. So we'll be here to support Giselle and all the seniors who wish to do so. Please continue to keep them in your prayers. We had a great graduation this past weekend in Santa Rosa. It went really well, and we're looking forward to more things here also. After Mass, we are going to be baptizing a young boy, Jaden. Did I say it right? Jade. We're going to baptize young Jade immediately after this Mass. And so if there's anybody else who needs a baptismal classes to be able to prepare to be a godparent or a sponsor or a parent of somebody who's going to be baptized, let me know, and we'll have a class specifically for you. Continue to keep our young ones in prayer for confirmation. Dylan is almost ready for confirmation. That's going to be when? The last day of the month. We're going to have everybody from here, from Tucumcari and Santa Rosa, get together for the bishop's representative to do it at 6 o'clock, right? Or is it 6:30? 6:30 there at the church. And if you could keep in prayer, one young man, I call him young, he's much, much older than I am. He passed away this past week in Fort Sumner, or rather in Santa Rosa. I just gave him his last rites mere hours before he passed. Mr. Trini Chavez, his wife, Tony, very devout parishioners. Pray for the repose of his soul. See what our Lord has for us in the readings for today. The Gospel read, "My children, I will be with you only a little while longer. So I give you a new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit."
Amen.
On May 7th, 2019, in the city of Highland Ranch, Colorado, tragedy struck at the high school, the STEM high school there. The students were just preparing for a normal day as though it were just any other day, going to their British literature class, studying things like Charles Dickens and the like, when a troubled young man forced his way into the classroom, brandishing a handgun, began opening fire on his classmates, and all the students there immediately leapt underneath their tables, their desks, the chairs that were there before them, seeking cover in any way that they possibly could. All the students took cover, except one student, Kendrick Castillo. Kendrick Castillo was a senior boy who leapt to his feet and bravely charged an assailant that day, and inspired by his move, two other young men flanked him, one on either side of him, pressing toward this attacker. Kendrick, with all of his might, threw his body behind himself and knocked the body of this assailant against the wall, stunning him just enough for the other two boys to be able to wrestle that handgun out of the attacker's hands. Kendrick used his great body and covered ground in his athletic frame to make himself bigger and bigger in the field of vision for this attacker so that he might protect his classmates' closing range. And so he absorbed all the remaining bullets of that young man's handgun within his own self. 8 students were injured that day, but only one was fatally injured, Kendrick Castillo. The reports coming in from all over, if you can recall them from that time, not long ago, announced the quick, decisive action of Kendrick was the reason why there were so few casualties that day, why there were so little harm when there could have been so great. Kendrick Castillo, he's a real American hero. And I'm not going to lie, when I first heard about the report years ago, and when I again revisited it this week, my heart swelled with pride, knowing that Kendrick, just a few weeks before his high school graduation, was a devout, confirmed Catholic. He was, in fact, one young man who was just weeks away from being enrolled into the Knights of Columbus, our great Catholic men's service organization. And so even though I can't, maybe any other person in the world could do something like that. Maybe any person of any kind of faith there, but hearing that he was one of our own, a Roman Catholic, hearing that he was a brother knight, it warms the soul to hear that he would be the one to do so. And even though I can't turn to Kendrick and speak to him and ask him exactly what was going through his head, I'm sure that in the moments prior to him charging the shooter, in those moments before he leapt into action, that something of his Catholic faith spurred him to make a sacrifice like that on behalf of his fellow classmates. If you recall, they had great festivity before his funeral mass. The whole town got together a few days before and had a huge public secular memorial service. Thousands upon thousands from all the surrounding area came to witness to the life of this remarkable young man. They formed later on the following day a whole parade of Jeeps, the automobile, because this young man, just like both of my brothers, had a really strong love for that vehicle. And so they lined them up one by one. There were Jeeps as far as the eye could see. And on Friday of that week in May, he went and had his funeral mass that was assisted at by only 400 people because the family said we wanted to be intimate. Just the close friends, just the close family, to be able to have this solemn service for Kendrick here in his church. And that service, just like every one of the funerals that you've ever been to in your life, they hand out a holy card to be able to give there. And it has the same thing that you would expect anywhere. It had an image on the front and words on the back. The image was a little different, singular to him. It had a beautiful Jeep on the front of it. But on the back was the same as you'd expect any of them. It had his name over the top. Underneath it, it had his date of birth. It had his date of death. And down below, at the bottom, it had a scripture verse from John chapter 15. And in the 15th chapter of John, what does it say? After talking about the vine and the branches and how we need to remain united to Christ, it said, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friends." Fitting for Kendrick. This young man, Kendrick Castillo. Kendrick Castillo, he is just one of those many names in a long list of Catholic heroes of faith. Of those heroes of faith that we have who've laid down their lives so that other people could continue on living and seeking the good in their lives. There's no coincidences, brothers and sisters. Everything is guided by the almighty hand of divine providence. Kendrick Castillo, I looked it up this week just to make sure because I had a hunch, but he was buried on the fifth Sunday of Easter, that week leading into the fifth Sunday of Easter. It's the fifth Sunday of Easter today. And so just like at that very same weekend there, the same today, and all throughout the world, Catholics, the entire world round, are meditating upon the words of our Lord Jesus Christ when he gives out his new commandment. What is that new commandment that he gives? Deacon Edward spoke it. "This is my commandment," he says. "My children, I will be with you just a little while longer. So I give you a new commandment. It's this, that you would love one another." That you would love one another. This is it. If you've ever had the privilege of spending time at the bedside of somebody who's on their way to God, when they're in their last hours of life, when they're on their bed of pain there, it's a privileged moment to be able to be with them. Deacon, Father, Senator will be able to tell you about this, how many countless times we've done that. And when they're there, when this dying person has anything to say, we're all attention. Because the words that are spoken on a deathbed, when somebody's on their way to God, are important. We want to hold on to those things. Oftentimes, they're emitted only with great effort on their part. And so we pay all the more attention. Yesterday, after I had the funeral mass of Magdalena and Pintada, they wouldn't let me leave the community until they said, "Father, somebody else needs to be anointed. They need to receive their last rites." And so I went directly from that funeral to this other woman's bedside. There she was surrounded by her four big, strong sons. And after I gave her the last rites there, she began speaking with all of her might and force. I'll give you her words. She turned to her sons and looked at them and said, "My sons, love Jesus in his church. Love Jesus and his church. Go to Mass every Sunday, even when you don't feel like it." She said to him, "Go to confession. I want you to be in heaven. Go to confession." And after she said these things, she said, "Wow, do I have to say anything? Mom said it all." A faithful, faithful woman. Today, what we're doing, what we're speaking about, what Deacon Edward gave for you is that last will and testament of Christ Jesus himself on the night before he was betrayed, and he was speaking to his loved ones just before he dies, and so his words are important. What does he say? He says, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." And that phrase right there, what do you think is the most important word in that entire phrase there? What word? You could just choose one. What is the most important word there? I'll give you a hint. It's not love. It's one that you wouldn't get because you don't pay attention to it. It seems like a throwaway word because it's so very small. The word is this, just two letters. As. A-S. As. That word is the important one upon which the whole statement that Christ is making here makes all the difference here. Because Jesus could have done anything right there. He could have said, here's my commandment, love one another, and left it at that. But he didn't. He didn't. He didn't want to leave that word love open to the thousands upon thousands of interpretations that everybody takes it to mean today. I don't know, I haven't seen any in our community here in Fort Sumner, and I've seen only a couple in Santa Rosa, but the house directly across the street from my own father's house, when I go and visit him, even to this day still has that out there, a sign in the front yard. It's one of those multicolored signs with a bunch of words all over it. It begins, maybe you know it, you've seen it, where it says, in this home, we believe, and it has a bunch of random non sequitur statements that are all the way all over the place, a bunch of pablum. And among those statements often is that phrase, love is love. Love is love. So what does that mean? To say love is love is a tautology. It gets you nowhere. What does that phrase mean, love is love? I'll tell you what they mean by it. They mean love is whatever you want love to be. You go ahead and define it. We're going to call that love. So in that way, they're saying love means everything. Everything is love. And so if love means everything and everything means love, then love means nothing if it means everything. So love becomes a throwaway word, meaningless. But our Lord didn't do that. Our Lord didn't do that. Jesus adds an important descriptive word to what love is. He uses that two-letter word to direct you to so that we can define what love is. He uses that word as, A-S. And so we have an example of love. Our Lord says, he says, love as I have loved you. And that makes you and I need to ask a question. How is it that Jesus loves you and me? That's how he loves you and me. He loves you and me just like this. This is the way in which he loves you and me to the point of dying for us. Love, brothers and sisters, requires dying. There's no love without dying. So Jesus is saying the very definition of Christian love, love after the heart of Christ himself, is this, is the cross. That you have to be willing to, that you have to be ready, that you have to be prepared to really die for them if those words are going to mean anything coming from your mouth. No one can say to you, I love you. No one can say to you that unless they mean that. Jesus goes so far as to say this. He says, the mark of a real Christian is this, in the very next sentence. Read it, it's a short gospel. He says, this is how all of you will know that you are my disciples, that the world will know you're my disciples, is by this. If you have this kind of love for one another. That's the way we must love. There was a priest friend of mine who was telling me about a retreat he went on as a kid. And all of our youth retreats, what they do is they have an emotional high point toward the end of the retreat. And when they had reached this emotional high point at the end of the retreat leader got all the kids together and knew that this is the moment where they're all going to start loving and sobbing on each other and hugging and whatnot. So he called them to attention. He stopped them. He said, we're going to do something different today. Right now, instead of hugging and telling everybody that you love each other, what I want you to do is kind of like how we do at Mass, or we used to do at Mass, doing the sign of peace and other times, that instead of doing that, I want you to spend 5 minutes right now. Go to every person who's here in the room. We're all Roman Catholics. We share the faith. I want you to go eyeball to eyeball with every person who's in here, shake their hand, and say to them, I'm ready to die for you so that you can make heaven. I'm ready to give my life for you so that you can go to heaven. And what my friend said, he was the only person who didn't know anybody else from that retreat when he went. And he said, those first times when you hear somebody say that, it does something to you. It changes something in the way you see yourself, that somebody's willing, says they're willing to die for you so that you can make heaven. What do you think about that? Should we do that today? How comfortable would you be if I asked you to do that today here during Mass? Don't worry, Joaquin, you look a little afraid. I'm not going to actually do it. That's out of character for me. We're not going to make you do that. But to think about that. Think about these very things right here. Maybe that's something that's outside of your comfort zone, not just to say to the random people that we go to Mass with, the people of our community, but even tough thing to be able to say to those who we love, who we live with, who we speak to all times. But telling somebody, I love you, it doesn't have any real meaning unless at least in the silence of your heart, you're able to say, I'm ready to give my life for you. And the same is true on the other side, that nobody can say, I love you, and it have real meaning behind it as a Christian unless they can say, within the silence of their heart at least, I'm ready to give my life for you. And if some of you today are saying, Father, that's idealistic, that's unrealistic to be able to say something like that, I point you to the example of Kindred Castillo. Young people aren't always known for thinking of people other than themselves, the most egoistic generation there is. Yet, countless examples like Kendrick Castillo, doing the exact same thing. Many people are ready to give their lives for one another, even those who they're not in intimate relationships with. Think of those young men and women who are in the armed services, those from our graduating class who are going to leave here from a few moments and go directly into that service. What are those men and women who police our streets at all levels? What about those who ride in the ambulances and risk their lives each and every day so that others can have a little bit better chance at life? What about those men and women who right now at this very moment are fighting the fires that are raging all around us to the north, willing to give their lives so that others can live and be safe? Think about the people that you regularly say that to, that word to, that you tell them, I love you. Are you ready to die for them? Are you right now ready to give up your life for them? And before you begin to answer it any sort of way, remember what that actually means. That it means that I have to be ready to sacrifice everything, make every sacrifice up until the point of giving my life for them first. Otherwise, I can't really say that I'm willing to die for you. Only if I'm ready to sacrifice my life for you, then am I ready to die for you. And if I'm not ready to sacrifice for you, to make these little ones that are on the road to that, then it means I'm not ready to die for you. And also that I'm not really somebody who loves you. What if somebody were to call you in the middle of the night, 2 a.m., and say, I'm stuck in Albuquerque, you don't got a ride, will you come pick me up at the airport? Are you willing to make that sacrifice? Another one. If you really aren't willing to go to the store to go pick up some embarrassing products for your spouse that they need for hygiene, can you really say that I love you? Really say that I love you. Love demands sacrifice. It demands sacrifice unto the end of death. I remember when I was speaking to a high school group of girls earlier on in my priesthood, we were giving them a retreat, and I was trying to explain to them the love of Christ, and they were only a little bit responsive in some sort of way, not really, somewhat attentive to what was going on, just as many of our young ones are. And I was trying to explain to them, and I said, let me make it practical for you. Have any of you ever had a boy who's come up to you in some sort of way and said, girl, I love you, 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 just so they can get a kiss from you? God forbid something more. And when I said that to them, some of them just looked at their feet, others of them blushed and got embarrassed, and the more honest and brave ones among them nodded their heads in silence. I had their attention. I said, well, think about this. Tell me, how would you feel if that young man, if he had a car, if he himself had nothing to do early in the morning, and after you gave him whatever it is that he was asking for, and you turned to him and said, Would you mind picking me up maybe at 6:30 in the morning so that I can get to school on time? I just don't have a ride. And if he were to turn back to you at that time and say, no, girl, I'm just not ready for that yet, would that boy really love you? And at that, all the girls ignited. As I couldn't keep them quiet after that, they turned to me and they said, no way, father, nuh-uh. If he did something like that to me, I'd kick him to the curb right away. Nuh-uh. I couldn't calm them down for like 5 or 6 minutes after that. For the rest of the retreat, they were very responsive. They couldn't put a word on it. They couldn't define it in the same way that I am here during this homily today, but they all knew it deep down inside. They knew that if this one couldn't sacrifice for me, they don't really love me. And then they didn't care how much he would kiss them. If you're not ready to sacrifice for me, then you really don't love me. All the girls were unanimous in this knowledge. I think all of us get it too. Here's one more example of a priest friend in seminary. He came and talked to us about how he came to understand what real priestly celibacy, how that could be love. And he learned it not in the seminary, but he learned it from the example of his own father. He came from a really big Catholic family. And speaking about his family right there, he was there, and after one of his younger siblings was born, they were all in the maternity ward just consoling mom and taking care of her. She had been injured in the pregnancy. She had been injured in the birth that she was giving. And so the doctor and the nurse came in and very gravely approached primarily dad and said to him, your wife, she was injured quite a bit during this delivery that we had there. And so I need to tell you that you got to avoid physical intimacy with one another for 6 months so that she can heal. And then he said, as soon as I saw my father register what it is that the doctor was saying to him, he immediately went over to the side of mom, began stroking her hand, and looked her in the eye and said, if that's the case, if that's the way it is, then we're going to not do anything whatsoever for the next year just to make sure that you're totally healed. You're totally better. And he said, when I heard my father say that, with that love from his heart, I understood what sacrifice was, to be able to let go of his own pleasure for the benefit of his mother, to make sure that even that marital right, which it is a marital right, to let go of that in order to make sure that her needs were taken care of first. He said, that's when I began to realize that celibacy could offer a greater expression of love even than marital intimacy. That's beautiful. So many of us could benefit from hearing that, not just within the context of marriage, but also in the context primarily of before that. That any passion which is expressed before that is not real passion unless it's the embracing of the suffering, of the waiting, of the letting go for the good of the other. Most of us probably will never in our entire lives be asked to go to the extent of expressing love and to show it just like Kendrick Castillo did back in 2019. But every single one of us here within this room, myself included, are called to die 1,000 deaths every single day for the people that we love and care about. And that if we are ever called to make that great sacrifice, to leap into action, to actually preserve the life of another person, the one particular that will be a sure way of knowing whether we're willing to actually make that final step and give up our lives for somebody else is if we're willing to make all the sacrifices necessary for them today that we're facing now. It's death by 1,000 jabs of the sword in our daily lives. Saint Therese of Lisieux, some of you took her as one of your patron saints. Saint Therese of Lisieux said, I'll only be able to die by the sword if I first die the death of 1,000 pinpricks given in everyday life. My young cousins taught me a popular phrase. I don't know if you've heard it before or shared it among yourselves, but where they say, when expressing love to one another, say, I love you to the moon and back. Have you ever heard that? I love you to the moon and back. Cousins like to say that to us, one another, and so that's what we share back and forth. But in the context of the Christian life, there's one better that you and I can say to one another and change that, to get it to the real meaning of what our gospel speaks of and what it means to be a Christian, a follower of Christ. To instead say, I love you to the cross and back. I love you to the cross and back. Next time you want to express love for somebody, tell them that. I love you to the cross and back. Because our Lord Jesus said what today? He said, my children, I'm only going to be with you for a short while, so I give you a new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. For greater love hath no man than this, than he lay down his life for his friend. For this is how you shall love one another, that the world will know that you are my disciples, if you have this kind of love for one another. Love is expressed in 1,000 pinpricks of sacrifices each and every day. So when you meet somebody who you really love, you can only love them truly if you love them to the cross and back. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Thank you.